God's word tells me to preach the gospel. If there wasn't any other reason for me to preach the gospel, that would be all I would need. Mark the 16th chapter and the 15th verse. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, this was given to the apostles. There are no more apostles. There's the local New Testament Baptist Church. And the Great Commission was given to that church, and I'm part of that church. And God called me into the ministry. And my number one responsibility to the Lord is to preach the gospel, feed my sheep. If I never visit, if I never had a Bible study, if I faithfully preached the gospel and fed the sheep, God would be pleased. Because that's what he's called me to do. Jesus told his church in this great commission for all believers to go into the world and to preach the gospel to everyone. That's why that when I'm out visiting, I don't take a certain part of the town. Don't care whether the man is black, white, yellow, red, or in between. If he's God's creation, he has a soul. And the only way he's going to be saved is somebody is going to have to preach the gospel to him. That's why I preach the gospel. Now, the word preach has a threefold meaning. Acts 1:8. Notice with me. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, when God saves you and he calls you to preach or he puts you into a local New Testament Baptist church, one of the duties of every man and woman that is saved is to preach the gospel. Now, we can preach it verbally or we can preach it by our lifestyle. And in the day in which we live in now, the lifestyle is much more effective than what you say. Because everybody is preaching so much, you know, that you don't know what is what. But one thing is very interesting if you do word study. You shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. That Jerusalem, we start at home. If you can witness to your people, if you can witness to your neighbor, the next county is no problem. And God knew that because he said, no man has honor in his own country. You know why? Because everybody in my family, everybody I grew up with, they know me. And they can't get in their hearts and minds that I'm not what I used to be. So the only way you can change that is preach the gospel, but also live the gospel. But we start at home. Second, it means to live the gospel. And we all can do that even if we can't speak. You don't have to say a word to live the gospel. God says in John 13, John the 13th chapter. Just turn back to the left of your book here in a page or two, and you'll see the 13th chapter and the 35th verse. Jesus answered him, "Will thou lay down thy life for my sake?" Now, we grow up to 35. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That's John 13, verse 35. But I want you to go down to verse 38. Jesus answered him, "Will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me." Now, we all know this story about Peter. You know, and I use this because when we're nearly saved and we're excited, when everything is going good, it's easy to say, "I'm on the Lord's side." It's just our nature. You know, I have no problem with Kentucky Wildcats fans jumping off the wagon when Kentucky loses, because I've seen that for 40-some years in the ministry. When things go good, everybody is excited about the Lord and his blessings. But then when things fall off, you know, what's wrong? Well, we got to turn the light up. We got to let Christ show through our life, not what we say, but what we do. Thirdly, it means to demonstrate or to manifest the gospel. See, I said the word preach has a threefold meaning. First, it means to tell the word by mouth. Second, it means to live the gospel. Thirdly, it means to demonstrate or to manifest the gospel. This is what creation is crying out. Romans 8, verse 9. Romans, the 8th chapter. As we look here at what God is saying and he speaks to us. We see the 8th chapter and the 19th verse. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God." See, this old earth is under the curse, as you and I are. And it moans and groans, and, you know, the earth now, you know, getting around here, it's getting so much water that it's just running off. It's groaning. We have problems. We have sickness. And in our minds, we wonder, you know, "Lord, what have I done wrong?" Well, you know, it doesn't take a very strong person to say, "I'm got a good marriage if everything's going good. I'm a good Christian because I haven't had the problems nobody else has had." But when we got to demonstrate, that's what Paul said, the earnest expectations. You know, we have got to continue. And why do we preach the gospel? When I'm like that, see, go back and I listen to tapes. I got a whole box, hundreds and hundreds of tapes. If we ever do what I want to do, and with the tapes, you know, it'll take everybody in the church working 2 or 3 hours a week. But at the house, I've got certain sermons set aside. When this is happening to me, when that is happening to me, and you'll understand, because some of you have left here from time to time and say, man, I needed that. Well, there are sermons that I needed because I was in a certain place, a certain condition, and I keep those sermons marked when I'm depressed. Well, you know, I never get depressed. Praise God, I do. When I doubt, when I even question God, I need some sermons that deals with that so that I can demonstrate what I preach, that is real. It's real to me, and that word of God is what brought me through 2 years ago in that situation. It'll bring me through again because it never loses its power. Never, never loses its power, see. We need to be doing the works of Jesus told us to do. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, you know, clearly tells us how to demonstrate the gospel. And if we would go back and, you know, just look at Matthew the 5th chapter, we won't look at all those verses tonight, but, you know, it tells us how to demonstrate to the world what we say that we have, you know. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountains, and when he was set, the disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed, blessed, blessed. You know, we look at that, but what is that saying to us? What is that word demonstrating to us when he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted? You know, it's when things go bad, you know, and you have this trouble and that trouble and this sickness and that sickness, you can go to the word of God, and he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, we're not in that battle by ourselves. God is going to comfort. That's where the real comfort is. See, when people call you and they send you a card, and we all love cards, we love the telephone calls, we love, hey, so I'm thinking about you. But God is with you when nobody else is there. Amen. And if we learn this, you know, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, if I can learn that if I'll be mercy, if I'll show mercy to you in your situation, I'm going to have a situation come, and God promised me he will show me mercy. Second, why do I preach the gospel? I'm called to preach the gospel. See, I'm a little different than anybody else in this building right now, to my knowledge. See, because I believe this with all my heart. I believe when God calls a man to preach, he'll preach. I believe that. He may not preach in a church, he may not preach here, but he'll preach. Jeremiah said the words, they just burned him on the inside. Some of them was bitter. I'm called to preach. I am an evangelist. One of the qualifications that he must be able to preach, that he must be able to do the work of an evangelist. Well, notice what God said in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, you can have different things you'll put in here if you wanted to take that outline and say, Why am I saved? Why am I here? Why am I a Baptist? Why do I believe what I believe? But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, God said, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. See, a real true teacher is a gift from God. And some of you will maybe know who I'm talking to, but you'll just imagine that in your own self, and you may be right. But an individual came to me once and said, I can teach those little ones. No problem. I've been saved 5, 6, 7 years. You can fill in for those little ones. But if you're going to teach those little ones, you need to apply yourself. And a teacher that won't apply themselves to those students should not be allowed to teach. And this person never did teach under my ministry. See, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. You know, that we need to understand that God is in total charge. And so when he says, and he gave, who's he writing to? The church at Ephesus. What we want God-given teachers and God-given pastors and God-given. Now notice, why did he give them? For the edifying of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this should be just the order. I got my edifying in the wrong place. But he said, God gave me the office of pastor, of evangelist, of teacher, for the perfecting of the saints. That's what God gives us, a child. And our responsibility is to take that child and lead them so they become respectable adults. But you know, and I hope nobody gets upset, after about 10 or 11 years old, and maybe a little earlier now, you don't have no more influence on your kids than the man down the street does. Hollywood does. The music does. Their best friend does. So I don't look at myself and say, I'm a failure because that person sat under me 10 or 12 years and walked out and went into a false church. All they did, they walked out and they manifest to themselves and everybody else, they really didn't believe. And if you don't believe the gospel, if you don't believe the word of God, you can't live it. Can you hear me preach? So, preachers and teachers and all faithful workers are a gift from God to the church. I'm called, and I know my calling. I have a divine call to the ministry and to preach the gospel, and every God-called minister is a gift to the church. First Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. I'm called to preach. That's why I preach. That's why I'm pastor. Here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe it is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. See, there's a difference between a mother and a female. There's a difference between a father and a male. When you are a father, when you are a mother, it is laid upon you. You want the very best for that child. You want to take care of that child when that child is sick. You'll get up when you're sick and take care of that sick child. You just got to do it. There's other people would come in and help you, but it's you want to do it. Something in you say, this is my responsibility. God said what? He said here in verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in." Why are you doing it? I've got to. I don't have no choice. And most of the people in the congregation, most people in your family, most people in the friends, "Man, you've been preaching 15 years. Why don't you quit?" I would have quit the first year if I could have. But you can't. It's laid upon you. It's just like a mother or a father. It's laid upon you. And God said, "Of necessity is laid upon me, and woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." See, you, when someone, you know, you have some of your family members or a good friend, and and they say, "This homosexual thing, is that a choice, or do they have some type of chemical imbalance?" You know, you can dance all around that building, and you can say this, you can say that, but if you're going to preach the gospel, it is just a choice. They make that choice. Our world is full of kids now that are on drugs and alcohol, and I'm a drug addict because mom was, and I'm an alcoholic because dad was. Yes, it affects you. It's a choice. You ever went out and got drunk? You're sick, you puked your guts out the next morning? Daddy make you do that because he does it? Our society has people destroying themselves and leading other people. I am called a priest. I am an evangelist. I know my calling. And third, it is a calling and not a profession. It's a calling. You know, I have said this and still say this. There are school teachers and there are school teachers. There are nurses and there are nurses. There's doctors and there are doctors. I was so proud of my granddaughter. She had a hard time the first semester over there, because the teacher that was being her mentor said, "You care too much. How can you care too much?" Thirdly, the gospel is the power of God. I can take the person, I can take the lady I was talking to the other day, and I had the ability, I know her well enough, that I could told her everything she wanted to hear. And she would have left that conversation feeling good. And I said, "Man, I really helped her." But you can't do that, because the gospel is the power of God, and the only thing that will save my lost family or your lost family is the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's what? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's the power. We don't realize how much power we got in our body, our hands, our mouth. You know, it's easier to play the little game, but the gospel is the power. We don't realize what we've got in our hands, what we've got in our heart. Luke chapter 4, notice what God says. Luke, the 4th chapter. When we look at the 4th chapter of the St. Luke and verse 32, said, and they were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For his word was with power. Power. You know. I mean, Facebook don't have much on it that is good. I don't know whether y'all seen it. I tagged it. I never could get it come up. But this man, this preacher, preaching the fact, he said that give your heart to Jesus is sending more people to hell than anything he could think of. Just give your heart to the Lord. He don't want your depraved heart. He wants you to accept Christ. Churches are full of people, and you ask them if they're saved, and they will go back to the time that they sign a card or, yes, I believed. When the apostles preached, they were astonished at his doctrine. When Christ preached, they were astonished. Even at 12 years old in the temple, the leaders were astonished at the Lord at 12 years old. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. See, the gospel is the power. It's the power of God. And we got to realize if we understand, nothing else will save. We can't get our loved ones saved by compromising the word of God. You know, I can go all the way back to Hebron, you know, long time ago when I ran my first church member off. Her daughter stopped visiting with us and joined the Jehovah's Witness. And she said, well, Brother Tony, you know, I'm so thankful if she couldn't attend here, she'd attend somewhere. Not a Jehovah's Witness. Not at a Jehovah's Witness. They're worse off because they will sit under and just hear that heresy and that heresy and that heresy until they'll get out here and walk in the snow and the rain to try to lead other people into that heresy. They're better off watching football. What God say? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Fourthly, why do I preach the gospel? Well, I would like to overcome the grave and the death. I'm thankful. And right, wrong, indifferent, you know, I don't go to the graves of those that I love very, very often. And I probably should, you know. But there's nobody there. There's nobody there. gospel took them from right here to up there. I would like to overcome the grave and death. See, I know maybe you don't understand, you know, there's one person in my family I talked to like that, and they said, you ain't making no sense. I'm not going to die. This body's going to die. This old temple's going to die. But I'm going to be transported from here to glory. You know what got me there? The gospel. I'm worried about that grave. That's what the gospel does for you. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew, the 24th chapter. And verse 14. It said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, when we look at, we'll get to 24th chapter. When we think about what he is saying here in the 25th, but when we go back to the 24th and we look at verse 14, and he says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Matthew 25:14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." I'm a trophy of God's. He saved me because he wanted to. And he keeps me saved because he said he would. And he said in the Psalms, the 23rd chapter, "Though I walk through the shadow of death." Just the shadow of death. Because you've got to remember, when he took a little bit of dirt in the beginning and he formed man, that's exactly what he was. He was nothing. He was just like a mummy. Then what did he do? He breathed into him and he became a living soul. Well, he don't want that old depraved body. I have did everything I could to destroy it. So what is he going to do? Between death and glory, I'm going to get a remodel job. Everything will be perfect because I heard the gospel and I believed the gospel. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm not in heaven because I'm a pastor. I'm not in heaven because of what I gave, what I've done, simply because he chose me. And that excites me. And I tell you, not for me only, but for all of those who hear the gospel. And lastly, I preach the gospel because if you really believe the gospel, you know what will happen? You'll change your life. I told somebody the other day, their daughter's going to be in college next year. I said, "I know you're going to be praying for her, but she'll enter that door of one person and she'll come out entirely different. It'll be good in some areas, but it'll be bad in some areas." That's part of growth. But the gospel changes all lives. I do not know anything that can change a life more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. I personally know people that have drank all of their life, cussed all of their life, gambled all of their life, did everything you can imagine. And God saves them, and man, he goes just like that. See, it took a lot of sanctification to get all of that out of me. And that's the way most of us are. We're saved, and we begin to get better. But it seems like that, you know, certain individuals, man, they just hit the pad running. Well, that shouldn't be a surprise to us, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Brother Sutherland gave me a new Bible. It's King James, but it's a modern translation. So I always go to Ephesians 2:8 and, you know, and some verses to tell whether it's worth my time of reading. And I went to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Ain't what the old King James says. And then a footnote. As you become new, salvation becomes real. It was real that Tuesday morning for me. So, God says, verily, verily, in John 5:24, verily, verily, of a truth, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me hath. Now, I'm no English expert, but that means right now. I would like to have $1 million, but I've got $1 or 2 in my pocket. That's real. I can spend that. I can only dream about the other. I have. God said, so the key is, have you heard? Have you believed? It's that simple. Now, we get into the doctrinal part, and we know what has got to take place for you to hear and what takes place for you to believe. But I didn't know any of that doctrine when I heard and believed. I just know that God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I heard, I believed, and I became his child. And shall not come into condemnation. You know what that means? It don't mean you're not going to mess up. It means that God will never condemn you. You know why? Because he'll never stop loving you. I may be disappointed with my 3 kids, but I'll never stop loving them. Because my love isn't based upon them meeting my expectations. That goes into another category. They're a gift from God. So as we close, these are just a few of the reasons we go. However, most of all, it's because of the love of Jesus Christ. God bless, and he helps those who preach the gospel with their words, with their life. But I'd like for people to, especially out on visitation or at a hospital visit, I like when people ask me, you know, why do you believe what you believe? Man, that's just opening up a door. Why do you attend a Baptist church? I love those questions. God has opened that door wide. Walk in it. Walk in it. You know, it's like this little tract here I gave. You know, I don't know whether any of you, you know, will read it. You know, but if you read and you see these five different type wounds, and you look at what causes those wounds, you know, wound produced by a blunt instrument, a blow by a rod. Wound produced by a tearing instrument. I mean, can you imagine? It's like taking a hoe and going down your back, or taking a hatchet and going down, taking, you know, spiked nails into your... Man, I tell you, the worst pain I ever had in my life was when I was mowing and the mower picked up a nail and stuck right in my ankle bone. Never had nothing hurt like that. And you think what my Lord went through. And people don't understand how important the resurrection is. He did that so we could live. That's why I preach the gospel. And the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of my Lord and Savior. Amen.